and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, g'day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Hey, welcome to the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour today. Every Monday from 12 to 1. I have more on the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association for you here in just a minute. We got a great show on hand today. The world famous, I want to say renowned or not. Anyway, the world famous Jimmy Emmons from Leedy, Oklahoma is in the studio with me today. And we're going to talk about some conservation soil. We got it going on today. But first of all, let's see what the temperatures are in our listening area. It's 38 at Slapout, 41 at Buffalo, 43 at Perryton, Texas. Pampa, you're at 38. Shamrock, you're at 49. Eric's 49, 53 at Hollis, 55 at Altus, and 51 at Weatherford. If you're not getting ready yet, you need to step up your game, everybody. Come Thursday morning when you wake up, we're going to be in a whole new world. So get ready. Wind chill factors are going to be anywhere from 20 to 30 below zero. Temperatures are going to be in the single digits. And it's not going to last long, but 3 days can do a lot of damage with this kind of cold front. So get your cattle ready. Get your hay stacked up. Get your axe out finally. And it's time to clean some water tanks out and get it. Just be ready. You guys know how to do it, but don't wait till Wednesday to say, oh, I forgot to do this. Anyway, so I'm just giving you a heads up. No excuses. All right. First of all, I got a couple things I wanted to go over with you before we get to Mr. Emmons. Is everybody, you need to keep the Anderson's Hemlock Elevator in your prayers and thoughts. It's up there in Hemlock, Michigan, Saginaw County, to be, remember that song. They had a fire there at their elevator last night, and it's huge. 30 million bushels of corn burned up. Think about that. That's 30,000 semi-loads of corn. That'll put a little dent in the market. But anyway, keep them in your prayers and thoughts. Don't know what started. Don't have any more information. I just seen some pictures of the fires. They had five different fire departments from five different counties over there. Bad deal. So anyway, also Saturday, I got to go help out with the Southwest Show Pig Series. First stop, right here at the Elk City Convention Center. Justin Rogers was a judge, did a great job. It was a great show. Man, there was a lot of great kids in there showing some great hogs. That's a tough hog show. There was some really good pigs in there. And thing that really got me was after the Hamps showed, which is about halfway through the show, they stopped the show and Jeremy Justice come out there with Dakota Gloria's family, because they're big into pig shows, and they actually raise and breed hogs for sale. And Max Patton, Friday night at the Sarah basketball game, had purchased an auction. He purchased a pork loin there and he donated it back. And so after the Hamp showed there Saturday, they, I don't remember if it's six or seven times they sold that thing and raised $10,100 for Dakota Glory and his family. Dakota was hurt in a work accident here about 3-4 weeks ago. We're trying to raise money for him, and it was just a great deal. And Jeremy Justice, thank you for auctioning that off. I hear through the grapevine that it was Monty Tucker's ideal. I don't want to get his head too big and swelled, but anyway, great ideal there, Mr. Tucker. Appreciate it. The next show for the Southwest Show Pig Series will be in Altus on January the 7th. So anyway, we got four stops this year. And I think after Altus, they come back to Elk City, and then they'll go to Weatherford to finish it up towards the end of January. Great, man. Just a great pig show. There was some awesome pigs there. Also, Just to give you guys a heads up, bull sale time is here. And the Bases Loaded bull sale will be in Oklahoma City on the 3rd of January. And this is all Angus. And then the the 21st annual Denim and Diamonds Angus sale is going to be on the 4th in Oklahoma City. And then during the Cattlemen's Congress, January 4th, GMC will be in the OKC Angus sale will be happening. Then the big boy sale, National Angus Bull Sale, will be on the 6th of January at the Cattlemen's Congress. 39 bulls, I think, is high-quality bulls for your consideration, and they are from proven programs across the United States, not just here in Oklahoma and Texas. But anyway, for more information on that, you can just get on Certified Angus or Angus Association's website, and they can help you out, and you can see all the Angus bull sales coming up. It's that time of the year. It's my favorite time of the year. Also, I had this brainstorm a while ago right before the show and threw it at my boss. Of course, he made a split-second decision that he might regret. If you have a bull sale coming up in western Oklahoma or anywhere in Oklahoma or the Texas Panhandle, we're going to run a special page on with the Today and Ag pages in the Penny News, and it's just going to be for bull sales. And so if you want to get in involved on that, contact the Penny News here at the studio, 225-9696, 580-225-9696, if you want to run your ad in the Penny News under that special bull sale. And we got bull sales now till April, I think. Yeah, April. And, I mean, I think the last one of the year is either the one here at Elk City or the one at Cheyenne, the Roger Mills County Cattle Association. So, anyway, be fun if you're interested in all that. But on the whole, farmers and ranchers are independent individuals who like to tend to their own work and stay pretty close to home. Most of us don't care much about city life or politics. We don't have the time or the desire to travel to the Capitol, attend all these legislative sessions, but we still know that what happens there can drastically affect our operations. That's exactly why we need an organization like the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. If you're concerned about issues like water rights, property rights, and maintaining your ag sales tax exemption, the OCA is for you. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, run by cattlemen for cattlemen. For more information, go to www.okcattlemen.org. Appreciate it. If you've got any questions about that, give me a shout. I'll get you in contact with Lori Campbell. Do you know her?
I do.
So anyway, I'll get you in contact with her. She's a one of a kind, I can tell you that. She's got it going on. So anyway, we come back. I'll have Mr. Jimmy Emmons on here from Leedy, Oklahoma, and we're going to talk conservation, soil health. It's the rest of the show, I can promise you. We can call it the Jimmy Show. Anyway, we'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 12th. For all you great stewards of the land, I'm Drew Cobb. 1,333 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 415 brought 220. 4 at 481 brought 212. 15 at 577 brought 197. 3 at 588 brought 165. 60 at 728 brought 189. 15 at 745 brought 155. 4 at 763 brought 177. 8 head of heifers at 429 brought 199. 6 at 479 brought 180. 10 at 513 brought 164. 7 at 559 brought 159. 5 at 642 brought 155. 7 at 704 brought 167. 38 at 709 brought 165.75. Butcher cows were 10 to 80 and a half. Butcher bulls brought 83 to 94. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. And sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 9th. For all you great stewards of the land, I'm Drew Cobb. 1,694 head were sold, 12 head of steers at 402 brought 248, 10 at 476 brought 222, 5 at 521 brought 206, 11 at 549 brought 193, 18 at 595 brought 192, 3 at 665 brought 175, 4 at 760 brought 162, 5 head of heifers at 333 brought 198, 4 at 483 brought 165, 7 at 491 brought 173, 10 at 532 brought 172 and a half, 3 at 552 brought 169, 4 at 570 brought 160, 13 at 689 brought 149 and a half. Butcher cows were 29 to 81. Butcher bulls brought 62 to 101. Bred cows were 400 to 1575. Pairs brought 630 to 1925. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting their annual AgTech Invitational on January 14th at our store in Plainview, Texas. Sign up to compete for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes. This competition is open to any high school junior or senior interested in mechanics, agriculture, or just winning prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. You can tour our career expo to learn all about John Deere, Western Equipment, and other job opportunities within the company. Spots are limited, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Currently here in Elk City, it's 51 degrees. The winds are out of the southwest, 11 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 17. Humidity is at 46%. And I'll have your Northwestern Oklahoma Long Ranger forecast for you coming up here in about 10, 12, 15 minutes. But on the show with me today is the world famous soil doctor, Dr. Jimmy Emmons. How's that?
Well, that's pushing it pretty hard.
What a welcome to the show. It's been a while.
Yeah. Thanks for inviting me on, Jimmy.
You've been a busy man. Tell us about some of your travels here lately.
Well, I've been to Wyoming, Casper, Wyoming, to the Conservation District meeting up there. And then flew from there to Covington, Kentucky for the Acres USCA conference. And then I just got back from Edmonton, Canada, doing a series up there. So, yeah, it's been pretty wild here lately.
Yeah, and you're not done. Here in a couple of weeks, you're heading where the warmth is, though.
Yeah, we're going to Scottsdale, Arizona next for the No-Till Organic Conference out there with green cover.
So, did you learn anything interesting in any of these conferences, or were you doing all the talking?
Oh, no. I actually learn as much as I talk. Well, maybe not as much as I talk, but it's really interesting to go see what other producers and soil experts across the country are doing and internationally as well. So, you know, right now a lot of people are just finishing up harvest, fall harvest. Rick Clark from Indiana had some great data on rye cover crop and how many nutrients they can hold in the springtime for you to plant beans and different crops in. And they can sequester anywhere from about 800 to 1,000 bucks an acre in nutrients that cycle back to the top where you can use them. Some of the data that we just got back from Nebraska on corn stover.
Yep.
I know you just finished up your corn harvest.
Yep.
That a lot of guys are baling their corn stover for hay and grinding in the feed yards and other things. But what they don't realize is that can be up to $700 or $800 worth of nutrients if you leave it there and let it cycle back through. And so sometimes what you think is a quick bounty of hay can be very expensive to replace that. So it's just things you got to think about down the road.
Well, it didn't take, when you said that to me, and I was talking to Kent Watkins down here when we started looking at that deal, that, you know, we were kind of in a jam for hay because some of my hay that I baled late in the summer ended up being hot.
Yeah.
And I got cows. I don't got calves. And I needed them. And I don't grind and all that other good stuff. I really needed the hay. But when Kent mentioned that to me and then you mentioned it to me, and I got to thinking, I was like, surely I could find some hay for sale around here. And it'd be cheaper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. We just don't think about the nutrients that can be in that stover, in that growing crop out there that we had standing, and them nutrients are very, very expensive right now to replace.
Right.
And a lot of times we think that's going to be cheap, quick hay there that we can get, and it is. It's good feed to feed, but it's also can be very high in nitrates as well, so you kind of got to watch that. But you just well leave it there and let it cycle and try to get some hay in.
Well, another thing is that I was thinking about the other day was, if all that cover stays on there and don't get blown to Altus come this Thursday morning, man, you talk about probably save you a lot of money in chemicals on weed control.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the more cover you can keep on the ground. Weeds can't germinate without sunlight and moisture.
Right.
Now, you're going to have moisture if you got that cover on the ground, but if you can keep that covered where there's no sunlight, can hit exposed soil, they're not going to germinate. So that's the secret. So it can be good weed control as well.
Right. Well, I was watching it. You was talking about the rye and the numbers that Mr. Ryan?
Clark.
Clark, yeah. I knew the Clark part, but I wanted to get the Ryan part right. Talking about the rye, I seen a deal on social media. I follow a lot of those guys that really publicize their farms because they're big operations and stuff. And these three brothers up in Kansas, they got this little YouTube page going. And they were out planting Truticow for cover crop.
Yep.
For the planting. And he was talking about all these numbers about when he starts to put his beans in next spring, how much money it was going to save him. You know, they let it get up so high, then they're going to spray it and on and on and on. But the one thing that really caught my attention was what you just said. You mentioned rye. I mentioned Truticow, which Truticow is a cross between and he did specify, I think he was a bigger hick than I am, but he said, you could call it Truticow, you could call it Truticali, you could call it cow, I don't care, but you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, he said that because a lot of farmers just cringe when you mention the word rye.
Yeah, we use a lot of rye, but we really work to be a good steward of that. So when we're drilling, we're very careful about going down the road. We try to keep everything blowed off before we leave our fields. And then when we harvest, we blow the combines off before we move. We make sure the tarps are on the trucks good.
Right.
And really, I've had no trouble with neighbors or friends or down the road. But you just got to be more careful with it.
Right.
Triticale's not quite, it doesn't have the hard seed factor that sometimes rye does, so you don't have any carryover much on it. So we use triticale as well, but that rye is really resilient and hard.
Yeah.
And Rick Clark done some really good studies where they clipped that rye from starting at 12 inches, sent that off to the lab for total nutrient testing, and then again at 18 inches, 2 foot, and 3 foot. And there's about, from the first clipping at 12 inches was $270 or $280 an acre, and the last was nearly $1,000 that's sequestered in that residue that can be cycled back through. So that's how you can really do some good things with that. And I know Jimmy Smith and them and others around here have used rye in their cotton crops.
Right.
And not only for wind protection and weed suppression, but it's also good for nutrient cycling. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, because him and Spencer, I know they're adamant about getting that rye crop in there, and they get it in there whether it's raining or not, because if it does rain, they're a step ahead of the ball game.
Oh, yeah. They're great stewards.
Well, I seen somewhere one of the studies done up in Indiana, and they were using the Survivor pea.
Yeah.
And the ground temperature was 39 degrees, and it still sprouted.
Yeah, that's Rick Clark.
Is that where I seen that? Okay.
Yeah, Rick and I do a lot of conferences together.
Okay.
And so, yeah, them Survivor peas are going to be really good here in the future as we start looking at cold tolerance. And they're really good at sequestering nitrogen and putting them nodules on in the spring. So it's another great way to save on fertilizer and keep cover on the ground.
Yeah, and, you know, this deal with the putting, no matter whether it's cow peas during the summer, Survivor peas or whatever, hairy vetch, whatever you want to do, and mixing in with your cover crops. So we were talking before the show, and the number one comment that I get about no-till is, I've tried it. It doesn't work. And first time I've ever heard anybody say it like you did before the show is, we've got it. We've taken so much out of the ground that, sure, it's going to be hard. And you're not going to fix it in a year or two. But we have time to fix it.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about that statement, I've tried it and it won't work because my ground's too hard and it bakes and it's hard to get planted back into. That's all true because we've taken the organic matter and the carbon out of the soil. I just got back, like I said, from Canada with Dr. Chris Nichols up there doing great work studying carbon. And so the original prairie from here to the north was somewhere between 7 and 14% soil organic matter. And so it was very much very mellow, very pliable. We farmed that all out. Most of the soils around here are a few tenths a percent organic to just shy of 1%. Each 1% holds around 20,000 gallons of water capacity. So just think of that. If we had soils that were originally 5 to 7% here and now they're 1% or less, just think of the ability that we've lost to store water in the ground and that holding capacity. But it also gives that organic matter, gives you that porosity and aggregation that you're lacking now with this no-till in St. Hart. So it takes more, you got to leave more there and get that to cycling back through and regenerate that and rebuild it. And we've proven on our farm that can be done. But you got to be patient. And as cattlemen, we're very used to taking anything that's above ground, either in hay or grazing. And we limit what we can do in the future with that.
Right. Well, you know, there's all kinds of ways to open that ground up. And I found out everything I got is sand, blow sand, except for one little 30-acre field.
Yeah.
And it's where the river has flooded on it so many times. And I don't know how many different types of soils in that 30 acres, but it could be hard as a rock. It can grow the best crops if the rains are done. It's sandy in one corner with grass burrs growing over there. And out here in the tight ground, the different types of type ground, is pig weed will be coming up one end, Johnson grass at the other end. And I could sow it in the moisture and the wind will blow the next day and it'll dry it out and I'll lose my seed, that type of ground.
Yep.
But a couple of years ago, I went in there and planted some turnips.
Yep.
And I didn't know it was going to stink that bad when the frost got it.
Yep.
My landlord wasn't impressed until he lived right there.
It's that sulfur. Yep.
But man, you're talking about busting that ground open.
Yes.
And I didn't have to go in there and work it.
Yeah, there's great things about turnips and radishes. So cattle don't graze on very well. When they're green, because that bitterness and that sulfur in there, when you have that frost or freeze on that, that caramelizes that into sugars, and then it turns into the best thing. But that whole process is a little stinky when that does that. But that's another nutrient that we're lacking now. Used to, we had a lot of sulfur in the atmosphere from all the industrialization we had across the country. When they put them scrubbers in them towers, that it took that sulfur emittance out. And so now a lot of soil tests are calling for sulfur.
Yes.
So you can do that with turnips and radishes. They're really good to bust the ground open, give you water infiltration points. But as they deteriorate, earthworms love to feed on them. And you'll go out there in the wintertime or early spring as they're deteriorated and pull one of them up or dig one up, and it'll just have dozens of earthworms inside that. And most people don't understand that, but that turnip or radish pull them nutrients up into it. Then as the earthworms cycle that, they turn that into liquid manure behind them that's readily available for the plants to take up.
Right.
And so you'll have a lot of nutrients right there in that root zone ready to go to work for you immediately. And that's really been good.
Well, I got the, I don't remember where I got the turnips from, and they were some more size of a baseball, softball. Yep. And 12 to 8 inches long, so you can imagine some really, really tight ground, and that turnip grow through there, and once that thing decays, and here comes some rain, it's not running out towards that
that's
river.
Right.
It's soaking right into that ground, and that's what it needs to open it back up.
Sure.
And my experiment, since I'm moving there, that's that little 30-acre field there is going to, and I know till. I had to plow it one time to level it.
Sure.
And we got and we tried to put it to Bermuda grass here before last, and that backfired on us.
Yep.
We put grass roots, we sprigged it, had moisture, never rained for another 2 months.
Yeah, it's been extremely hard getting grasses started the last year or two.
Yeah, it has. Well, anyway, let's take a break. When I come back, I'll have your Northwestern Oklahoma forecast for you, and then we'll continue our conversation here with Mr. Jimmy Emmons. If you have any questions about anything that you want to do on your farm or anything, text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. Jimmy is on Facebook. If you ever have a question pop up and you want to answer, he's very good at returning calls, and he's a busy man. So if he doesn't answer you, don't worry. He's going to get back to you. You're still working for the Oklahoma
Conservation Commission. Yep.
Yeah. You're going around making everybody smarter and yourself smarter. Bringing it back to Oklahoma.
Well, I'm trying to make myself smarter. I don't know about everybody else, but I'm trying anyhow.
You're doing a pretty good job. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erick. Call 526-3070.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there.
I'm Jill Duresha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in Southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay. You guys want to hear this forecast or not? Anyway, here we go. Pick me a town in northwestern Oklahoma.
Camargo.
Boom! I got him on the mezzanet. Here we go. Camargo, Oklahoma. Currently, right now, you're 51. Winds are out of the south, southwest, 9 miles an hour. Humidity's 44. We have wind gusts up to 14 miles an hour. Today, sunny, 51. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 41. Wednesday, cloudy, 40 degrees. Wednesday night, 12 degrees.
They're not going to know what's happening Thursday.
30% chance of snow. Thursday, it's just not going to be a good day. 35 mile an hour wind, 16 for a high, up to 60 mile an hour gusts. We're going to have wind chills from anywhere from 10 to 30. And they said there's a chance we might have some wind chills in the low 40. That's minus 40. How's that? Anyway, Thursday night, it's just cold. Minus 5 for low. North winds 22 to 29 with gusts up to 40. Friday, it warms back up to 17. So anyway, the winds are going to calm down a little bit Friday. But, hey, after Friday and Saturday, it starts warming back up. But it's a long ways away. But the wind looks, or the temperatures look really nice next week in the 50s, actually. So, we are, Camargo is under a wind chill watch. How's that? It's the first time I've ever seen the wind chill watch until 12 o'clock December the 23rd. So there you have it. Today's the 19th. So through next Friday, you guys be on the lookout for that wind chill watch.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal out there. And like I said, get the cattle fed up and protected and pipes and heaters where you need to be around the house, too.
Well, Jimmy Emmons is here with me today for the rest of the show, actually. Takes up him and I, Jimmy Music, Jimmy Emmons, Jimmy Taylor. We can take up the whole show.
It's something about the Jimmy name.
I guess. We're either long-winded or something. But anyway, we're talking about armor, and we haven't, I don't think, you and I have ever discussed it on the show. This is your third time on, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, since the show started. How important soil tests are?
Oh, yeah. Soil test and armor on the ground. You got to know what you got in there. And then that armor provides them nutrients as well, and getting that total nutrient testing done is very important. In these prices that we're looking at this past year and this coming year, you know, at $1,000 a ton for nitrogen and stuff's hard to digest. So you need to know what you have. And so use them tools, testing, to know what you got and know how and then to plant a cover crop to grow what we need.
Right.
That's very important. You know, and you're just talking about high winds Thursday and Friday there. You know, keeping that residue out there, keeping that grass tall enough to capture this snow and this blowing wind. We're still in the drought. We're not out of the drought yet. And we need every drop this to rebuild this profile of moisture to grow something next spring and next summer. So them type of things we need to think about during the growing seasons. Do I need to graze that grass clear to the ground to survive? Or can I do something else to leave that residue up there to keep that wind and keep that snow in check?
Yeah, and not end up in the bar ditch.
That's right. Yeah. It doesn't do much good for us in the bar ditch unless it's heading to a pond.
I don't know if a lot of people notice, but when we do have snowstorms and the wind's blowing, of course, they're always going to drift on the roads, period. But bar ditches, and they catch the rain, they drain the roads, and I understand that. But bar ditches have some of the best grass in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's undisturbed, too. So that gets back to that no-till principle that water goes on in. We've done some great water infiltration tests with the Wildlife Department this summer in the Leedy area, and we were doing some under heavy tillage systems, and it wasn't taking water very well at all, very slow. And we just moved over to the fence line into the bar ditch, and it would take 3-4 inches at a time just straight in.
I mean, sucker in.
Yeah, it's amazing what that soil can really do if you get that organic matter up and undisturb it.
Well, we are. Well, this is Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour. I have Mr. Jimmy Emmons from, let's just say, Dewey County.
There you go.
You farm a couple thousand acres, and you guys have a cattle operation up there. Is there anything going on your place right now we need to know about besides working cattle or whatever? I mean, have you got any experiments going on is what I'm asking.
We got quite a few experiments getting ready to take place. We were going to do some with some new products that's on the line around now with some algae from the sea putting on. There's been some good results nationwide on that, but we won't see it on our farm. We've got another product that we're getting ready to try called Source from Sound Ag that is a molecule that helps the biology release the nutrients from the minerals. So we'll have more on that this coming year or so down the road here. But a lot of good things are happening. We continue to use compost tea extracts and molasses and humics and sulfur and some other things over the top and in furrow and on the seed that's really helped us. So there's some things that you can do that really help your system out.
Well, during the break, you was telling me an interesting story about a gentleman that planted corn, and he had radishes.
Yep.
And he planted them. He was planting across them. Finish the story.
So David Brandt and Carol Ohio back in the 70s started no-tilling and cover crop way before anybody else. And he planted because the only thing, they're big row crop in that area, so they don't have a lot of drills or at that time that was no-till. So he used his planter to plant radishes, and he decided to go crossways of his corn rows. And the next year he saw that where he planted them radishes, the corn was 2 to 3 inches taller early on, and so he could see rows one way and then down the row. And he started looking and measuring and using testing and found out how good they were at recycling nutrients with the earthworms as well in there as they deteriorate. And so then he started changing his strategy and started planting them in rows the way that he was going to plant his corn and then just move over an inch or two and plant that corn right beside that radish. It was very successful. And then since then, he's went on to multiple species, but he still does a lot of that. And it's just amazing what you can do with plants to really free up nutrients and make them available for you instead of buying them.
So, and he was planting the radishes in the fall.
Right.
And then he come in there during the spring and plant his corn, so the radishes had their time to do their thing.
Yeah, they had grown, and then as winter came on and frost and freeze took them out, then earthworms really enjoy eating the insides out of a radish or a turnip. And once again, as they consume them nutrients in there that the radish and turnips had sequestered, then they turn that into liquid manure out the other end that's just amino acid ready to be taken up by the plant.
Yeah, and it's just, and that corn just said,
straight up, yes.
Well, the thing I did learn about corn, and our corn was no-tilled in from our, but we had to swath and baled the wheat crop off of it because we did need that hay. Sorry, yeah. We needed that hay, but we got it went in there, and I kept a diary, like a little junior high girl, on that corn, and planted it July 8th, August 6th, we top dressed it, and I put the water to it, and I didn't just necessarily soak that corn. I just kept, we had moisture 12, we didn't have a lot of rain down there, but as long as that moisture was 12 to 18 inches deep, I didn't get crazy with keeping my goldfish alive, as they call it, in the deal. And what was crazy is from the day we top dressed, or I turned the water on to the top dress, dressing, and 7 days, I couldn't believe how high that corn.
Oh, it can grow so fast.
It went from like between boot top and knee high to 8 foot tall in 6 or 7 days. And if you guys think I'm kidding, I got dated pictures of this corn, and it was crazy.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people plant corn early around here, and or tried it in the past, and it becomes a problem because then you get into trying to pollinate that in the middle of that August and July heat.
Right.
By planting it in July, we get around that where we can get into the fall and cooler nights, and we can get that pollinated. Plus, you don't have the problem with aflatoxin because you don't stress the plant out.
Right.
But that stuff can grow amazingly quick if everything is right and it's got water and nutrients in the ground. It is an amazing crop.
I was caught way off guard, but I mean, we went from whatever Jack's name, Jack and the Beanstalk, in a hurry. But we planted the corn. You know, we grew a wheat crop on there twice, but we still had a lot of nitrogen left in the ground according to the soil test
from
growing alfalfa on there 4 or 5 years, and so the whole thing was interesting. And, you know, Kent Watkins down here at SEI,
he does a great job.
He was advising me on everything. And I said, I'm not changing nothing. I'm sticking with the program. That way, if it went wrong, it was his fault. But he did a good job. We had a great corn crop until...
Your neighbor showed up?
My neighbors off the river showed up. And we still did all right. I'm not going to lie to you. We still did all right. But I'm not going to lie. It hurt.
Them pigs, feral pigs, can eat literally almost 100 bushel pretty dang quick or more. We've done that on the river, and that's the reason we quit growing milo and corn on the river. We killed 2 years in a row over 400 on one pivot each fall. And they know when it goes to silking, they start gathering up, and as it gets just about right, here they come. They're amazing animals.
Well, my son, when he's talking this morning, he called and he said, was it because you combined that one strip last week? Had nothing to do with it, son. Them guys was, you know, normal year we'd been combining in earlier in the fall.
Sure.
And everything was delayed this year. And it was great because we had a lot of moisture, 2-3 tenths here, and a lot of humidity. But if we'd have got that done at the end of October, 1st of November, you wouldn't even heard about the hogs on my corn deal.
Yeah.
But they ran out of green stuff finally, and they were traveling, and, you know, I think pigs talk.
Oh, they do. All animals communicate.
Yeah. And they say, hey, Jimmy Clark's got a buffet down here on the other side of the River Bridge. Come on. Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll finish up the show with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And I got one question. I want to know if you know the answer. This ain't got nothing to do with soil conservation. Why are eggs $5 a dozen?
Well, there's been a lot of avian flu going around, and the chicken business has been decimated.
Yeah.
And so we're paying the cost now.
Iowa. Iowa's where most of your laying chickens, where eggs come from up in Iowa, and they've been hammered really hard in the last year. And I read something last week where they lost another 400 or 500,000 laying eggs. So there you go. Buy you some chickens.
There you go.
Build that pen. Raise your own deal. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves, too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. The typical gas station is like a 35 micron filter. We run 10 micron filters in all of our stuff. So when we load our bobtail and all that, we filter it through a 10 micron filter. I'm pretty prideful, and the last thing I want to do is hear that someone got water or dirt in their diesel and they had problems and burnt their motor up or something like that. That's the last thing I want to happen.
So how does your more stringent filtering, how does it help your customers save money?
Filters aren't cheap. Let's say over 3 years you change one filter, or in 3 years you change 10 filters. You know, I'm all about saving each penny, because that's all the pennies add up. That's where your profit is.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
'Twas just before Christmas in all through Oak City. Not a creature was stirring, not even Ray. Cowboy Coy was singing yee-haw as he greeted customers old and new. They came to see his cool hat and all the great vehicles, new and used. Juanelle and her amazing service team were helping customers tune up their car, while Jay in finance was cutting prices and raising the bar. For it was December, and everyone knew that F-150s, Expeditions, and even pre-owned, too, would all be marked down by thousands after Corbin makes the call. They get to see David dancing and singing. Discount, discount, discount them all.
Cattlemen's Congress is located in the heart of cattle country and is far more than just a cattle show. Join them December 29th through January 14th to see the newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and offers sales of elite genetics, something for everyone's operation. Join them January 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale info, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemenscongress.com.
When you shop locally for Christmas, you not only give, you receive. You receive great service from people who know you, and you receive the added value of helping our local economy. Shop locally this year. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Gift you get from giving, not the one you receive.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Pick me a southwestern Oklahoma town.
Southwestern. How about Hollis?
Oh, Well, man, you've guessed twice now, and both of them have mezzanine centers.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got to get lucky once in a while, Jimmy.
Do you know that Hollis is the capital of Harmon County?
Yeah.
So, anyway, 54 degrees right now, and it is 42. The humidity is 42%. The winds are out of the west, northwest, at 7 miles an hour, with wind gusts up to 12. Today, sunny, 56, winds out of the west. Tomorrow, 45. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, 45. Thursday, your life changes like the rest of Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle. You're going to be 30 for a high, but Thursday night, 2. That's it. And then Friday, 2-2, which is 22. So anyway, Saturday, it starts warming back up. But anyway, you guys really do need to start preparing. For this is only 3 days long, but this is a severe Siberian blast coming through here. It's gonna, with wind chills but 20 to 30 miles an hour or 20 to 30 below zero, it ain't nothing to be
and it's coming, because I just came from Canada and it was there.
It's coming. It's coming. And so anyway, there's a lot going on. We got about 5 minutes left in the show. Mr. Emmons, you got anything you want to tell everybody about anything?
Well, you know, every year the conservation districts here in Oklahoma have their annual meeting. And so the February 27th and 8th in Oklahoma City in Edmond, the convention center, we're going to be having our state meeting there. I've actually, on Tuesday, the 28th, we got Regen Ben from the UK is going to be there. Tremendous story about what regeneration can do to your farms and ranches. He actually is now did consult with the Queen and Prince
Charles. Now it's the King.
Now he's consulting with Prince Charles on their 150,000 acre ranch. And so it's going to be a special treat for Oklahoma to come here to Regen Ben. And then I got Steve Groff from Pennsylvania coming to help a lot of growers with greenhouses and growing food for our Fresh RX program in Tulsa. So gonna be good conservation on Monday, and then great soil health and regen topics on Tuesday.
And that's coming up when?
In February.
And now that's public's invited, right?
Yep.
All right, cool. And I'll keep you guys updated on that, and a reminder going out to you, because I'm sure that I will get one from over here at Sayre.
Yep.
Here pretty quick from her, and she's always been good about it. I appreciate the fact that I know you, and blessed to know you, I guess, is a better
it's
word
a two-way
to do it.
Street.
Because you know, a lot of these people like you and Kent Watkins and all other kinds of people, is, you know, sometimes it's hard to teach a old dog a new trick.
There you go.
And I'm not saying nothing away from them farming. But I've been saving this question for you, and it's not throwing you under the bus or anything. I watch a lot of farming on YouTube video, because you're just waiting for something crazy to happen. Well, that happens down here too, but I watch it a lot. And I notice a lot of, you know, there's a lot of corn and a lot of soybeans grown in Iowa and up in the Midwest, Illinois and Indiana. Doesn't look to me like they're doing as much no-tilling is they're still with the conventional farming. They, as soon as they get that corn off the ground, they go in there and plow it for the winter. And, you know, I've heard a couple of guys saying, well, we do that so we can get penetration of our fertilizer, because it takes a lot of fertilizer, especially nitrogen, to grow this 200 to 300 bushel corn they grow in there. And not only that, that's rich ground up there.
It was, and it is still.
It still is, but it's losing it.
Yes, it is.
Why do you think they're not trying something different?
Well, it's hard for us to change, and I'm talking about everybody.
Right.
Normally, when we're comfortable, we don't want to change. We continue to do what we've always been doing. So that's a challenge. A lot of it's family heritage and peer pressure from communities. But once again, and I was just with Dr. Chris Nichols up there in Canada, she's got charts that shows that over the years our corn and our grains bushels per acre has went up. We've done a really good job with that. But if you look on the nitrogen efficiency side, it's going down. And that's because of lack of biology and heavy tillage. And so even though it takes a lot to grow corn, we're only about worldwide 30% efficient with that nitrogen we're applying. That's the reason we have these water issues in the Gulf of Mexico and that erosion from them plowing early in the fall and leaving that out there all winter. And a lot of people put on their nitrogen in the fall and early spring months before they need it with their corn crops. And we're just not very efficient with that. And so it gets away from us. And so that change problem is a hard one to answer. Once again, if you've been profitable, it's hard to change.
Yep, it sure is. Mr. Emmons, appreciate you coming on the show today. That song is telling me we is out of time.
All right. Until next time.
All right, yeah. Can't wait for you to get back from Scottsdale.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks again, Jimmy Emmons from Dewey County, for coming on the show today to talk about soil health. And we'll be back tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.